Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what is happening? We're off to a good start today. Hey, happy Monday, everybody. 6:02 in the Rose City. Hi, porn. I don't think your microphone's even plugged in over there, buddy. See that little cord dangling right there? That's got to be plugged into something. Maybe up on top of the microphone? Yeah, it looks like up here. See that little piece right there? There you go. Evidently, our microphones couldn't beat the heat this weekend. Did we learn that the hard way? The AC cranking. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Sprague is here. He tried to get you the hype horn and a 6:02 in the Rose City, but for some reason, his microphone is unplugged, and we just realized that starting the show. But let me give you a, there. Hey, there it is.
Does it work now?
I can hear you. Do you read me? Do you copy? That's a delightful start for a Monday.
I can't begin to tell you how much I'm going to murder people in this building.
Who do we want to blame for that one? Who do we think's guilty for
that? Who would unplug the microphone?
That's a great question,
Bob. You literally have to actually try to unplug the microphone.
Do we have any Sunday shows now? I know we have Sports Saturday.
No, we only have Sports Saturday. So right now, Joe Fisher. Why would you unplug the microphone?
Number one. Been a Timbers game over the weekend, though. Ooh. So you might. I mean, to look
why would they unplug the microphone? They use the microphone.
I don't know. I was also here on Saturday, but don't blame me because I wouldn't touch your microphones. I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't do that to another Brandon. I would not do that to you.
That's Brandon on Brandon crime, but we can't have that around here.
What a amateur operation.
Can we ask how concerned Brandon was, Brandon number two, when that moment happened? Were you thinking that was user error on your
regard? I did think that was my fault. I always take it as my fault first, and then you pointed that out, and then I took a big sigh of relief.
I don't want to throw him under the bus.
It's an immediate panic. Like, oh, God, what did I screw up on the board?
When you were out, he had the board off when I was supposed to hit the hype horn. I just, like, looked at him, and he looked at me, and I'm like,
and
well,
then
I need
he
it.
Gave me that same I look. Need it.
Sports
got to
be on,
ago.
Buddy.
Hey, we need something here. I need some audio. I got nothing. That's no snare in my headphones.
I like to believe that I'm pretty easy, laxed going compared to a lot of people in our industry. But like when you unplug my microphone.
That's a pretty big red flag right there. That's
I'm going to lose
no-no.
My S.
That's a pretty
There's
big.
Really no excuse for it.
No, not having an operating microphone. We don't need a lot of things in order to do our jobs. There's like, you know, we're easy going. We're here as long as we're in the studio. Yeah, you just need a microphone and headphones. That's all you need. Other than that, we could probably get through the show without anything else. But without a microphone, you're kind of screwed on that
one. I'm already off to a rip-roaring start of my laptop's not recording audio for some reason the way it always does. So now I got to go to the settings. I have no idea what's going on in these settings. And then I tweak with it. It doesn't work. And then finally, right as the show
hey, you got it.
Open starts, it works.
We're good to go.
For no stupid reason. I didn't change anything. Right. And then my microphone's unplugged. How's your Monday? Mine's off to a rip-roaring start.
Other than all of that, it's off to a great start.
I'm in a bad mood now.
Funny how quickly that happened.
Oh, I've had a great day so far. Yeah. I had a really weird, odd sports dream.
Vibes are feeling good. What's going on in the dreams?
The dream was odd.
It was a weird one last night.
I don't even know why or if I should tell you. But
I need to know now. You can't give me that tease and not tell me what the weird sports dream was.
So we all lived together on Langdon Farms.
Okay, like all the hosts?
Yeah.
Okay.
But like...
like we're hanging out, just moved into the red shed?
Basically, yeah.
Okay, got some cots and some blow-up mattresses in there.
But there's a big swimming area.
Oh, that's cool.
And people can pay to come swim on the golf course.
Okay.
But like you could still golf. And the usual...
they should do that. Let you jump into the lake off of 9 and 18.
The usual visitor is Joe Cronin.
Joe Cronin stops by?
And everybody in the red shed was giving him the hot takes of he should be fired.
Ah.
And then we found out Joe Cronin lost somebody in his family.
Oh, then we all felt bad.
And he was sobbing while he was crying.
Oh,
and then we all felt bad.
We all wanted him fired, and then somebody died. That's not good.
And then I gathered everybody together, and I said, guys, we should get Joe Cronin a great sympathy grief gift. And Isaac said, I'm not paying anything for it.
It sounds pretty realistic.
And then Patrick was just like, I could hear him, but he wasn't, I couldn't understand what he was saying.
He's kind of giving you a muffled voice.
Yeah, he's like. And then you just wanted nothing to do with it. You said you had four holes to go play.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
And so I was stuck trying to.
I mean, let me finish my round here before we start like consoling Joe Cronin on the loss of his family member. Can I finish my last four holes, please? Is that too much to ask when I'm out at Langdon Farms, beautiful Langdon Farms?
A grief gift is an interesting thing to think about too. By the way, I'm just like, does anybody buy a grief gift for somebody? Is that a thing?
I think the grief gift is your time. And the ability to like, hey, I'm there if you need me. That is the gift. Although nobody ever really takes you up on that when something actually, like, hey, call me if you need anything. Let me know if you need help with anything. You usually don't end up getting a call or needing any sort of help. I feel like that's the idea of the grief gift. It's not buying somebody something because they don't need anything in that moment. It's the thought of your time.
But there is an idea that, like, if you got somebody the right gift, it'd be like, oh, actually, it's kind of cool. It takes my mind off.
Does it distract? What's the gift that I could give you of a close family member dying that I buy you that makes you feel better? Because I don't think there is one.
So I'm not going to say who it was that he lost, but let's just say
in your dream. Do you specifically know who it was in the dream? He talked about it. Okay,
I feel weird saying it.
Don't say that. Let's not put anything out into the universe.
Let's just say it's somebody very close to you.
Yes, this is my point. I don't think there's anything you can buy him to get over it.
Now. Counter, let's use me as the example here to make it all better.
You lost a family member.
I lost my parent. Mm. Okay?
Okay.
If you came in...
what can I buy you for when this happens?
Say I was out for like three shows.
Yeah, you're going to miss some time.
Because I'm like, what am I really doing? You know what I mean? There's no judgment here either way.
Yeah.
But I have thought about this scenario. If I lost a parent, I'm grieving.
Yeah, you need to take some time.
Yeah, but also like, I have a limit of like, what am I going to do on the third, fourth day of this? I'm going to wake up and cry all day? I want a distraction.
I totally get it. The only thing about that scenario is how much stuff you might have to do out of it. Like how many things are you calling?
Very
how many
fair.
Things are you cleaning out?
But we're off at 10.
That is true. You got the rest of the day. I know. I'm just saying that I do think there's a big like dump of workload that falls
totally
on
it.
Your desk in that moment that also maybe helps mask a little bit of the grieving because you're constantly busy dealing with stuff.
But like walk me through this. So if I lost a parent, I'm dealing with my grief. I come back and you, for whatever reason, you say, I'm going to get Sprager a grief gift.
I got a little grief gift waiting right here on the desk for you when you return.
Dude, if you told me you got me a round at one of the courses at Benton. Not a stay.
Not a stay.
Not any vouchers for
a
any
round of golf
stuff.
At Bandon
Just
Dunes.
One round, and you basically are saying, Sprague, if you can figure out your stay.
What time of year are we talking?
Summer. So about $300 gift.
Jesus, man.
I'm just saying.
That's an expensive gift.
It is an expensive gift.
That would distract you for long enough?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yes.
The idea of going down abandoned?
You've now got me jacked for about half my day. Half my day is, oh my God, my parents gone.
Oh.
The other half is, damn, I got banned in like 4 months.
Now, do you want me to like actually book the tea time or am I getting you like a gift card to abandon to
it's
pay?
It's like a gift card.
Okay.
It's an open-ended gift card.
Whenever
and I
you
call.
Get down there, you have the money to go pay for a round of golf.
Although you're quite a jerk. You've already left me with more work. I've had to deal with my parent.
I mean, I don't know what your schedule is. You got stuff going on with the kids? Yeah. I can't plan a weekend for you. I don't even know what I'm doing next weekend.
It's a very dark conversation to have, but I'm legitimately asking, how long do people miss work for the death of a parent?
I don't know. It's a good question.
It's
I think a lot of
it, odd conversation to have, but I've been thinking about this.
This is a very morbid way to start the show, Brandon Sprague.
Well, my mic being dead was also a morbid way to start the show.
Your microphone was dead. Now we're just hoping nobody else is dead this morning.
This
isn't
my fault. This is either Timber Fan or the Saturday show.
You're having dreams about people dying. Let's get some good mojo going here. Okay, let's put some good energy out into
this
the world.
This is either Fletcher Johnson... Joe Fisher or Rashad Taylor's fault.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good
Unless
bet.
Isaac thought it was diabolical to unplug it and they didn't use this mic over the weekend.
But if there's a Saturday show, which I'm assuming there was, then there was a Saturday
so they used
show.
This
I'm
mic.
Betting Fletcher because the Timbers had a game also.
Fletcher Johnson, you're now on our S list.
Does Fletcher Johnson have his own microphone that he plugs into something that I don't see?
He's got a play-by-play mic that he brings in on his own.
Is he afraid that this mic will be hot?
Ooh, could be.
While it's off, so he unplugs it to make sure he can say whatever he wants to say. Because I saw our Timbers lost over the weekend.
They did lose again.
So, like, is he, like, cursing off air and doesn't want this microphone to pick it up and get hot?
In all reality, that's not a bad strategy. Because if there's a way to get taken down in the radio industry, a hot microphone is, like, 98% of the reason we will eventually get fired.
Oh, you know me, dude. When we talk off the air,
shove them away.
Push this microphone away from me.
Shove them away. All it takes is one disgruntled. We love you, Brandon, by the way. It takes one disgruntled producer to be like, oh, yeah. I'm going to pop that thing on during a commercial break. You won't even notice. Yeah.
I would not do that at the start of the week. I would do that like on Friday.
Yeah, by the time we grinded your gears all week. Like, dude, screw these guys.
That'd be your last, like, see you later. Hey, I'll take that over you driving your car into our building with explosives.
Dude, how wild was that story?
Here's the crazier part. Well, it's not crazier than that. There's nothing crazy.
No, that was pretty nuts.
Here's a crazy offshoot of that story. I had Saturday late morning-ish, because it happened like, what, 3 a.m. Saturday, right?
I think so. That sounds right.
So I didn't wake up and instantly get into the news cycle. I woke up and I kind of got my day going. The wife and I had to run some errands, and then I had basketball games over the weekend, and my daughter had to play in them.
Right.
So we're out at Riverside High School for our basketball tournament. And I go out there and I see, you know, our dear leader of Meadow Park, Marshall Cho. He's like, what's up, coach? You ready to coach? I'm like, I am, coach.
Ready to coach, coach.
And then he introduces me to another coach. And this coach is coaching a MAC youth club team.
Oh.
I hadn't seen the story.
So you didn't know what was going on.
Had no idea.
Yeah.
This gentleman's very nice. Super outgoing. We're having a ball conversation.
Yeah, just talking hoops.
And then I saw this after, and I'm almost wondering, did he see the story about the MAC?
Did he know or not? No, he had to have known.
He had to have, but he didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
Don't you bring this up?
I'd imagine if you're associated in any way, shape, or form with the MAC club, you would have gotten some sort of an announcement that, hey, by the way, we're going to be closed for a while. So if you're planning on coming or if you have any sort of event over here, not going to transpire today.
Well, yeah. That's
we have a bomb squad in our garage right now. You're not getting into the club today.
Well, but all his youth teams were at our tournament. Unless
so
it's a different MAC, but I assumed it was the MAC. I think the jersey said MAC Athletic Club.
That was absolutely wild. We used to play tournaments there all the time when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know if we had a friend who was a guy on the team who was a member over there. I can't remember exactly why.
Talk about a staple of Portland.
Dude, their gyms are fantastic, too. Of like all the gyms you could go play in as a kid hooper, that was decently high on the list. I always look forward to playing over there. This is one of the reasons that you just try and be nice to everybody, man. I don't know the full backstory. It sounded like the guy was obviously dealing with some issues. He was chasing after members. That was a report that came out. Like, he was stalking people who were members of the MAC club. Dude, to drive it into the garage through the barriers, then ends up, like, that was one of the wilder stories.
Could have been way worse, too.
Dude, I know a guy who got the access to the security footage somehow. I don't know how. It was on a group chat. Somebody worked there. I have no idea.
Wait, did they send in the security footage?
No, but I ended up talking to him. I was like, why didn't you send that to, like DM TMZ for a couple $1,000? They probably would have paid for it. That thing was all over the news.
Okay, fair thing to ask. Also, what happens if they find out you're the one who sent
it
in?
He doesn't work there. I don't even know how he got access to it,
to
be honest.
That's crazy he doesn't work there and got
access to it. I didn't ask the follow-up of, like, how did you get it? He was like, yeah, that was in a group chat of a buddy of ours in the morning, and it wasn't even on the news yet. It wasn't even known. And then, like, 2 hours later, the thing was all over social media, and you could not avoid it.
Yeah, once I saw it, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, then you can't unsee it at that point.
No, you got to read about it.
Dude, did any of the bombs go off?
The reporting I saw, and I haven't followed up yesterday, it seems like it didn't.
Yeah, but that was my thought as well.
Obvious damage.
Well, he drove through, yeah.
Well, yeah, but also it seemed like there was fire damage.
Oh, okay.
But the bomb just didn't go off.
So he lit something on fire, but not a full-size bomb.
Let me see if I can get a follow-up on this.
Can you imagine if all those would have gone off in the MAC club basement?
No,
that thing
I
got
can't.
Taken down?
I can't.
What would have happened to our Timbers, too? That would have affected the Timbers.
Yeah, because it's right next to the stadium.
That thing's right there, man. You look out over the field.
Yeah, this one's from OPB. This one just basically talks about, he's a 48-year-old guy who clearly was going through some mental health stuff.
No doubt about it.
Let's see. Drove via the ground floor, attempted to set off explosions. Most of them failed to detonate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's at least one positive out of the story. If you're looking for any sort of silver lining on a
Monday. He died in the car. That's right. The car had flames, but the bombs didn't go off, and he died.
Jesus,
it's going to remain closed for at least a week. Working to repair the damage.
Where does a MAC club membership rank as a status symbol in Portland? How high on the list is that?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like, if you meet somebody and they tell you they're a member at the Mac Club, you immediately are like, oh.
I think you live in the hills.
Yeah. Like, that's a high-up status
symbol. You live by the Martini house.
That, in certain country club memberships, you just look at them and like, okay, either you got a lot of family money, or...
Waverly and Mac Club.
What are you doing for work?
Waverly and Mac Club, two status symbol things that you could say to me, and I'd go,
Oh, damn.
You had a nice life.
How's that for a grieving kid when your parents tell you, let me get you a Mac Club membership? You want to drive down there and use a gym?
Now, if my parent perishes and you give me a math club athletic membership, I'm pretty stoked.
How much does that cost a month?
I don't want to pretend to know.
I just know it's not cheap. That's all I know. I mean, every time walking around there as a kid playing some sort of sporting event, just like, Jesus, dude, this is another tax bracket.
Now, let me counter my grief gift to you, okay?
Yes.
So... In any scenario, you lose somebody close to you. Let's just say it that way.
According to Google AI, $6,000 down payment in about
how much?
$250 to $350 a month.
That's actually not
that bad.
Anywhere near what I thought it would be.
It seemed like in my head it was a lot higher than
that. I was having like $20K down payment.
But that's $6,000 per member of it. So if you join with your wife, that's $12,000. And if you have two kids, it's like $2,000 for kids.
But we know country clubs that charge more than that.
Yes, we do, on a monthly basis for sure.
So you lose somebody close to you.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, from the end of the life to the funeral part, it would be quite the process and time, right? It's not a turn and burn situation.
Right.
What would you think if I got you a grief gift of a round it banded, but also I said, you need to use it in the next 3 weeks?
it's only good until the end of April.
Now it's a grief gift burden.
Wait, what do you mean? So what if they don't have any? What? Now I got a call?
Dude, I don't even know if the funeral's going to be in 3 weeks.
I can't miss the funeral.
Well.
You can't put a timestamp on it like that.
Just say it. Like, what if it goes from a great gift to now it's a burden on
me. I don't want to have to deal with this.
Right.
We're getting somebody said maybe you could buy him a nice continental breakfast. There you go. How's that? Is that a good grief gift? Somebody said, Dirt, you could just buy me a bunch of hookers and blow.
Whoa.
That's a good way to go.
Hey,
if you're looking for a way to get over losing somebody close in your family, that's not a bad way to do it.
That's one way to grieve somebody. It's a lot of cocaine and hookers.
I think the grief gift, too, like, it depends on how the person dies.
Have you ever given a grief gift?
I've never given a grief gift.
I've never even thought about getting somebody a grief gift.
I think, like, if it's somebody who is older, like we have a death in the sports world today.
Like, I don't know why if I had a dream.
That's a really
about
weird
getting
dream.
The general manager. Well, I read a lot of Pacers stuff this weekend.
Reading about all those juicy rumors.
So it was more like, is he going to pull the trigger?
Can he pull the trigger?
I don't know.
How split are we going to be when that trade happens, too, by the way? Just yelling at each other. What are we doing?
I think we're going to be it. We're already split based on what the Reddit comments and social media showed me.
Every candidate that was thrown out this weekend was like, nope, can't do it. Nope, not going to do it. Nope, don't want him. Nope, not anything to do with him.
There's no timeline that makes sense for that guy with our youth.
You know what we should do?
You mean our five-game gentleman sweep youth?
Roll it back is what we should do.
We
do this to ourselves.
There's an air to us that kind of says we really might, and I wouldn't be overly shocked.
We do this to ourselves all the time, where we desperately want them to take a big move, and then the big moves are mentioned, and everybody's universally against the big moves that could be made, and then we get pissed when they just run it back for another year.
You can't
make us happy.
We live in a really weird circle and cycle of fandom, don't we?
We absolutely do.
The draft capital's good. But I play this fun game because I text with media members in the market all the time about, like, who should they go for? Why this? Why that? And the funny thing is I'm always like, well, what's the package? And they're like, Jeremy, fill in the blank, pick. And I'm like, why would that team want Jeremy? And it's almost always a silence. Like,
are you sure they want him?
And I'm always,
are you sure that's a part of that trade? So. You got to get somebody who wants to take on that contract in the other way.
I guess, man.
I don't think you're going to be able to do that.
Yeah. The grief gift. If you give me a round of Bandon and I lose somebody super close to me.
I'm going to remember that.
That's a...
Hold on to that one down the road. Many, many years from now, whenever something does happen.
If something happens, God forbid it happened to one of us, but
Round of Bandon's not bad.
I mean, that's not bad. Solid, like, dude, thanks. You get my mind off this. Now I get to think about that round a little
now
bit.
Now it's a day trip down there.
Now you're making it a guy's weekend is really what you're going
to
do.
You don't even need to find a place for me to stay. I've driven down and driven back in the same day and played Bandon before.
Dude, the replay rate at Bandon, if I get you that first round.
Now we're talking here.
Now it's discounted.
Now that second 18, all of a sudden, is not a full $390 or whatever it is.
Exactly.
In peak season.
Grief gifts. Give them more consideration. And I certainly will after that dream. It is a loaded show today. We got a lot to get to.
Hello.
We had some dud game sevens.
We did.
We have Blazer rumor mill stuff. We're going to dive in and we'll do it and get it going next. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Man. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on 105.1 The Fan. So Dirt and I were talking during the break, and we've concluded we agree on this. There might be a real odd vibe of what just transpired. Went a little longer there, and then we had like an update randomly fire off.
Yeah, if you're a P1, you're like, hey, wait a minute. This doesn't sound the way it's supposed to sound.
Yeah, no.
They got their stopwatch out like,
hey, excuse me. What is happening right now?
They haven't gotten to the bottom of the hour yet.
No.
Look, we appreciate all the P1s, 2s, 3s, 5s, 4s. Doesn't matter to me. We love that anybody that listens, check us out on the podcast. You name it, we love you. But we're just shaking things up a little bit in terms of how we're structuring the show.
That's it. It's a little bit different.
That's it. There's nothing. That's not good. That's not bad. It's just a new way of doing things. That's all, baby. So you
yes,
know,
yes, it is.
We'll have fun with you to start the show and every top of the hour, and then you get your nice Brandon Henson update.
If you were worried that maybe you had like an aneurysm or something, like wait, what is? Am I what? No, it's not you. It's us.
Still half asleep. Like wait a minute.
I'm so confused right now.
Radio can be a really weird world sometimes. Like the things that you would think are not a big deal to discuss on the radio end up being sometimes the biggest deals. And this was one we wanted to talk about last week, but they were like,
y'all don't say that.
They were like, shh,
it's a surprise.
And I'm just like, you know what? I'm watching this play out and I can imagine. So yeah, just to give you an idea, a little peek behind the curtain, that's what's going on. But we are here hanging with you on a beautiful Monday morning. If you missed the open, we talked about grief gifts. Do you get grief gifts to people? I quite enjoyed all the grief gift ideas that people had at the fan text line 503-864-6326. What do you get a grief gift for the Orlando Magic?
A made shot for game 6 so you don't blow a lead and you score more than 8 points at home with a chance to close out an 8-1 upset in the first round of the playoffs. That was like a perfect encapsulation of Orlando, was it not this season? A little bit of a flash where you're like, hey, this could... Oh, no. Yep. Yeah, all right. That ended the way that
How
I thought
How did they lose
it
game 6?
They scored 8 points in the fourth quarter and missed 25 consecutive shots?
Didn't they only make
23
shots in a row in the entire second half?
I mean, that was absolute insanity. I saw the final score and I'm like, wait a minute. 8 points in the fourth quarter, and then you dig into the numbers behind it, and they just can't. They can't hit. That was their problem all year. They outside of Desmond Bane, nobody on that team can really shoot, and it bit them in the ass in the worst possible moment. And then they laid an egg in Game 7 on the road.
That is one of the worst playoff halves of my entire life. In fact, I'd have to go look because I didn't read any articles that told me truly where it ranks all time.
All time. 23 in a row has got to be some sort of record. 23 straight missed shots. Like Houston is the only other team that I can think of. What was that, Game 7 against Golden State years ago in the conference finals? But I don't think it was 23 straight shots. I thought it was threes. Like they didn't make a three in the last three quarters or something crazy. Orlando legitimately missed 23 consecutive shots.
I mean,
our Game 7 collapse against the Lakers was what, 14 in a row? When we blew the 16-point lead, 13 or 14 in a row, something like that?
I think it was 14 in 14? A row, missed shots. Yeah.
I feel like I remember that number because it's scarred in my brain at this point.
Yeah.
That's like 23 in a row?
That's unbelievable.
Not anybody can luck into hitting the bank and make it. Like, seriously? With a chance, by the way, it's not game one or game two. That's game 6. And you got the lead, and you're up in the series 3-2. You just need one semi-competent quarter of basketball and you close out what would have been the third 8-1 upset or fourth. Like, those are so rare in the NBA, and it was right there for them, and they just peed down their leg when they needed it most.
So I got this story up, this one from Josh Robbins. Now, this was on the third. The NBA has existed for 79 years. What happened Friday night had never happened before.
So, all-timer.
After a 24-point lead early in the third quarter of Game 6, the Pistons with an opportunity to become the 7th number 8 seed to upset a number 1 seed was right there. Magic collapsed. Produced the lowest scoring half in league playoff history.
They had 19.
In
the second half, they scored 19 points.
That was indeed the worst half of basketball ever.
Ever.
I was like, I feel like I'm watching the worst half of basketball of my life. Here it is. Lo and behold, it is the worst.
I didn't watch it live. I can't remember what I had going on Friday.
It was like watching a car accident in like super extra slow motion.
I just remember looking at the score at halftime thinking, oh my God, Orlando's actually going to do it. They got a 20-something point lead at halftime. They're closing this out. Detroit, how many hard questions? I mean, Detroit's probably still going to have hard questions because I don't think they're going very far. But you never know. To see then, though, like that they only had 19 points in the second half was one of the most jarring glances at a box score that I've ever had in my entire life. Paolo Banchero was 4 of 20, 0 of 9 from 3. 4 of 20 from the floor, 0 of 9 from 3. As a team, they were 9 of 36 from 3. They shot 35% overall from the floor. Like, Banchero with a chance to close out a series at home, and you go 4 of 20 total, 0 of 9 from 3? Dude, trade his ass after that. Are you kidding me? I'm out if I'm a Magic fan.
Well, here is Paolo Banchero after Game 7. And do the Magic have a future?
I mean, I can't really answer that. You know, I want to say yes, but we haven't been out of the first round. So if you're going off the last 3 years, the answer is no. But the nice answer would be yes. But honestly speaking, I can't say that we're good enough to be in the finals or Eastern finals, because the last 3 years we've had the same result. So that's your answer.
Yeah, that's going to be a pretty tough one.
You
dude.
Traded 5 first round picks for Desmond Bain, and you still can't get out of the first round.
Can I give you a round of applause?
Sure.
Non basketball dirt.
Yeah,
where he was right, where Hoop Sprague was way wrong. You know, I knew it was a lot to give up, but I'm like, I kind of get it. They have a window. They're trying to capitalize on the Franz and Paolo stuff. Let's add a good 3-and-D guy who can get his own buckets. And Bain had a good season, but he was nowhere to be found in these last two, and they're going to have to shake things up in a big way. I think they're going to trade either Franz or Paolo.
You're going to have to. Probably Franz, right? I would imagine they wouldn't want to move on from Paolo, but that Game 6 was...
Dude, I don't know, because Franz got hurt. He didn't even play in Game 7.
Yeah.
But Paolo, like, he didn't have a great year. And then he started playing well in the playoffs.
He did. Until
he was the only
one who
showed up yesterday in Game 7.
He was the only one, yeah, with a pulse yesterday. But Game 6, he was so bad. I'll take the credit. Thank you. I appreciate that. Being told I'm right is always a nice thing.
We know the Bridges one is, you know, they could win the title and then it won't matter. But, like, if they don't win the title, we're going to be like, oh, the Bridges is the same thing.
I also will acknowledge, though, when I looked at Orlando, it wasn't an idea that getting Desmond Bane means you're not going to get out of the first round of the playoffs. It meant I don't think that's good enough to win a title.
Right.
Like, I just thought, like, that's your move. Because once you make a trade like that, you're basically all in. That's all of your future draft capital has gone for one player. Now, you could tweak, you know, other players here or there, which they're going to have to do this offseason. But you look to the East, it's wide open. I just thought trading 5 first-round picks to get to, like, the Eastern Conference Finals, is that worth it? And maybe for them it would have been.
Right.
Never in a million years did I think they would turn around after being a playoff team, and I want to say a top 4 seed at least one of the last 2 years in the East, and turning around and getting bounced in the first round. They were an 8 seed. Like, they almost didn't even make the playoffs.
We thought they were going to lose the play-in.
Like, they damn near didn't make it. Have they fired their coach yet? If they haven't, 3-2-1, here comes the breaking news sounder. That coach is going to get fired. That was the worst kept secret at the end of the regular season. But yeah, to your larger point, they got a lot of hard questions that they're staring in the face right now, because they don't got a lot to work with in terms of assets that they can trade.
The less duddier Game 7, because that Game 7 started out and you're like, oh, okay, you got a little back and forth between Detroit and Orlando, and then Detroit just pulled away.
First half was relatively close. Second half, not so much.
Cleveland-Toronto, what a Game 6 shot. Another Halliburton situation, back rim, straight up, straight down.
Kawhi Leonard, too.
Kawhi Leonard with the one bouncing
in. The other one
in.
That I think of with making a shot like that.
That's a very fair one, and a collapse by Cleveland to lose that basketball game, and then out to an early deficit, stays 10 relatively most of the first half, And then here comes the surging Cavs. They end up not looking back. And
yeah, big third quarter kind of doomed them.
You know, no Ingram made a big deal for Toronto. Not having Brandon Ingram out there really hurt them. But Cleveland comes back to win that one. I thought that was a little bit of a dudsy game seven.
It wasn't great. It was better than the first one, but neither game really delivered to an all-time level.
It wasn't a great Sunday game sevens. We had three game sevens. We thought we might get a fourth with the Laker Rockets, and then LeBron and the Lakers were like, the hell we will.
Hold my beer. We're going to the second round. See you later.
Ba-boom. Cash that money line bet. Thank you very much.
I will ask the question again. Now, I feel great.
No, he's not the GOAT. We're not asking that question today.
Oh, no, that's not my question. Oh. But he is the GOAT, and he's the most underrated athlete of all time. I will ask the question again.
Yeah.
Who the hell is going to win the East?
New York.
Okay.
Don't ask me if I'm sure about that.
You sure about that?
I don't have an I'm sure about
you
that.
You sure about that?
Now, let me ask you about Philly.
I'm holding that ticket now. I feel great. My cash out went up four times the amount.
Really?
They won game seven. Yeah, it was a $5 bet. I think it pays $150, and my cash out after the game seven win was already up to like $25.
So Philadelphia, New York.
It's going to be
Does it
awesome
feel like
series.
The East Finals to you?
Because
I have a Cavs East ticket,
yes.
And I don't feel very good about that thing right now.
Detroit and Cleveland won in the first round. Neither one should feel good about anything that they've done. Like, neither one should have any semblance of confidence going into the second round.
Really? You don't think Detroit over and winning a...
No.
No?
The only reason they're still alive is Orlando did something that we've never seen done in the history of the NBA playoffs.
Styles make fights, though.
They scored 19 points in the second half of Game 6.
You're not wrong.
That's why the Detroit Pistons are advancing to the second round.
You're not
like,
wrong.
I saw a Cade Cunningham quote, and he was like, we're going to learn from this. We're going to, you know, it's a good playoff. Like, dude, I don't know if that's good experience, man. You should have lost to the 8 seed in the first round. You guys were ass the entire time. Orlando just topped your level of ass, and that's the only reason you're still standing. Like, Toronto, I guess, is a bit more formidable of a challenger, if you will.
Sure.
Against Cleveland, but they still have the Harden thing hanging over their head. Like, I just have no hope that he's going to be able to put it together. So, to answer your question, yes, I think Philly in New York is the conference finals. I also think that's, without a shadow of a doubt, the juiciest matchup and the best matchup of the second round of the playoffs. Every other series.
Spurs-Wolves is not.
Who's
Ant
playing?
Edwards questionable.
Is he going to play?
He's upgraded to questionable.
Okay.
I'm led to believe he will.
What about the cat from Chicago? Is he going to play?
I don't know.
Okay. What about DiVincenzo? Is his Achilles going to get re-popped?
All right. So you're
they're not
Philly?
Beating San Antonio with a shorthanded roster. It's not happening.
We'll get to the Blazers at the top of the hour because it was a juicy little rumor mill weekend for us out here in Rip City with this name and that name and the other name. But let's carry this over because you struck something interesting to me. The most interesting matchups and most exciting ones that we have from the second round. We'll get to that. Dirt and Sprague coming up next, 105.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
One. The Fan. Fan text lines 503-864-6326. We had a death in sports, but also,
I'd say it's more of a celebration of life today than a mourning.
The way people in this town are talking about it, it's the most shocking news they've ever had. And I'm like, what? He's how old?
He was born before World War II, dude.
I mean, yeah. It's a great life.
That's a hell of
He's
a life.
He's one of the best lives as a human being you can live.
You get me to 87, man. I'm happy as a clam.
We had juicy rumor mill Portland-based stuff, and we should have Bobby Marks on our show at 8 on Wednesday.
Hell yeah.
He thought he could maybe go today, and I'm like, oh, it's perfect.
Let's do it, Bobby.
And then he checked his schedule, and he's like, actually, Monday, Tuesday might be a disaster now. So he had to hit me back and let me know that Wednesday would work.
He does all those, like, once the team gets eliminated, he does a big piece on them and a video on them. I watched and read the one on Portland, and so he's busy in the last day because more teams got eliminated.
Also does a lot of draft stuff. So
yes. We've
got the Cavs and the Pistons moving on from their game sevens. And Saturday, you know, they were up pretty decent amount most of the way. And then the fourth quarter, it got kind of tight there between the Sixers and Celtics. It was the best of the game sevens.
Easily the best game of the weekend. That game was fun. The drama, the Embiid flopping around, quieting the crowd after hitting a three. That game was fantastic.
I have no rooting interest here.
Mm-hmm.
The Sixers, Celtics, Knicks are three Eastern Conference-based teams that when they play each other, it feels very personal.
Boston, Philly, New York.
It feels... It's,
they're right next to each other and they hate each other.
I would argue, Dirt, it's the closest you could possibly get to feeling what an NFL rivalry is or college football rivalry is.
Yeah.
For their sport...
Oh, they can't stand each other.
Like Wimby and the Thunder, if they meet in the West Finals, that's going to feel the same because it's going to be the young up-and-coming team with the freak versus the defending champion. Yeah. So I think you'll get that. But largely in that league, you don't have it.
No, it's also one, I think, in that example where they're going to meet each other a ton in the playoffs in the years. Like, fast forward 3 years from now, and we'll be talking about that a certain way.
But Philly, Boston, New York all have this personal, no. Our city's better. No. Our city's better.
They do.
And so it's the teams, but also it's largely driven by the fans. And I think you might be right, though I don't want to dismiss the Timberwolves and the Spurs.
I hope I'm wrong on that. And somebody texted in and said the T-Wolves bigs can shoot threes. That'll pull Wemby out of the paint. Like, it's great in theory.
If Ant Edwards can play and be productive,
at
I
what
do
point
think
in the series can he be back? Because game one of that series is tonight.
He's listed as questionable.
I know. What percentage is he at? He wasn't even playing good before he went down. He wasn't even their best player. So Gobert can maybe do. I mean, he knows Wembanyama. He had some great quotes going into the series about how Wembanyama asked him what kind of like water filter he has or something like that.
Oh, it's the way French freaks.
That's the way his mind works. So there's definitely angles there. But I also think you go from Embiid in the last rounds playing Boston. They always lose to Boston. Mm-hmm. Remember, he was on the desk of the NBA Finals. Was it 2 years ago that Boston beat Dallas? That was 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And he's on the desk before like game five or game six of the NBA Finals with Paul George, recruiting Paul George.
Basically telling you Paul George is going to be a Sixer.
In the middle of a halftime of game or pregame, I can't remember what it was,
right.
Talking about how much he hates Boston and how he can't wait to beat Boston. So he finally paid that off 2 years later. Let's also turn the clock back a little bit more. You know who hates each other with a passion? Karl Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
They have already started talking us going into this series. When Kat was back in Minnesota, they had moments where they went viral yelling at each other on social media, calling each other bitches. Like, the drama of all of it is going to be fantastic.
Great.
Like, I don't know how the series goes. I'm rooting like hell for Philly now because I randomly put a ticket on them to win the Eastern Conference. And all of a sudden, it doesn't look like that crazy of an idea. I'll tell you what I am going to do tonight. I'm going to bet them plus a 7.5.
Oh, I'm with
Why
you
are
there.
The Knicks favorite against, like, what are we doing here? New York is so overvalued
it's
in the
turn
Vegas.
And burn, I think, from a game seven high to going on the road at Madison Square.
And look, Embiid was flopping all over the place. He took a knee to the back of the head from Maxey at one point. So I don't know. Maybe he's not at 100% either. But all of a sudden, you have Maxey as their best player, Embiid with the ability to be their best player on any given night, and Paul George is like a third or fourth option. Like, it's the theory that we had of Philly when they put this all together that we thought, oh, that could be interesting. And not to mention a rookie in Edgecombe who's been really good and won them a game in that first round series. So to see them erase a 3-1 deficit, come back and win, that was easily the best round I thought of the first round or the best series of the first round. And now we get Philly, New York, which I think will deliver in terms of the drama and the hatred and the fireworks and the sparks or whatever you want to say. I think that's going to be a really fun series.
Poor Cleveland, Detroit, like, they're not going to get nearly the amount of pub as Sixers Knicks.
Nobody cares. If they had both swept their way there, and Detroit looked like a legit one seed,
and Cleveland with
and
Harden,
Cleveland
like,
was like
rolling.
Five game, yeah. Harden's playing good, Mitchell looks awesome. You're like, ooh, okay. But they both limped in against inferior opponents and easily could have lost their series.
I put up the poll question: which Eastern Conference team do you want to see in the NBA Finals? 76ers, Knicks, Cleveland, and Detroit at Dirt and Sprague. You can vote there.
There's two options that are okay here. It's Philly and New York.
Okay,
whoever wins the Philly New York series, please, for the love of God, go to the NBA Finals.
I tried to tell you that, like, oh, the Magic, by the way, breaking news, just fired the coach.
Told you, 3-2, last segment, 3-2-1.
Literally.
It was only a matter of time.
You almost nailed that.
That was so close. How great would that have been if I would have said it and you glance up and there's the thing at the bottom of the screen?
Really just hit the ticker right there.
My sources have confirmed, by the way,
yeah,
the Magic have fired their head coach.
Yeah, they're going to blow it up.
Yeah, they're going to blow it up.
I think they're going to make a big trade. And we could talk about that and how that is in regards to our team.
I'll take Franz Wagner.
Oh.
Why not?
Franz or Paolo?
I don't think they're going to trade Paolo.
That's totally fine to say. But we'll talk about that coming up at the top of the hour. It's a loaded rumor mill weekend for the Blazers. But Sixers-Knicks. I told you that the Knicks winning the finals and beating the Thunder would be... like, Adam Silver couldn't draw up a better scenario, I think, for himself.
No.
That being said, who are you rooting for here? 76ers or Knicks?
From a business reason, I'm rooting for Philly because I want to cash a ticket.
Okay.
But also from a rooting interest, I am rooting for Philly.
You want Philly in it?
I am.
Because they've had a hard go with their baseball team and their NFL team. And
when the Giants have won multiple Super Bowls.
The Flyers are in the second round right now. It's been tough for Philly fans.
Lost game one to Dundon, though. The Hurricanes are a wagon, even though Dundon won't buy T-shirts. I haven't been able to put my finger on how he's able to do it.
Well, he didn't do it.
No, of course. He's the owner.
He didn't do anything.
He's nothing to do with winning and losing.
Which fan base is more insufferable when they win?
New York, I think. I think New York, just in the Philly example, I don't think Philly basketball fan is the level of Eagles fan. I don't think it's
the same person.
I know it's the same person, but it's not the same level of psychotic nature.
Football's a little more.
When the Knicks and Sixers last played in the playoffs, it was like 40% Knicks fans in that stadium.
Which Joel Embiid was like, Please come to the game. Sell your ticket. They're having
Eagles playoff game in which there's 40% of another fan base in that stadium. It does not happen. Basketball is a third fiddle in that market.
He's
it has always been a third fiddle in that market. So for that reason, I don't think they're that. Like, Knicks fans will be significantly more insufferable. And you'll also get the people who come out of the woodwork of like, oh, I've always been a Knicks fan. No, you haven't, dude. No, you haven't.
New York.
I mean, it was like all the Indiana fans. Like, oh, you went to Indiana now too, huh? Right when they won their title last year. I'm an Embiid guy. I know he can be a little bit of a B. I get it. He's also dealt with so many injuries.
He is an all-time if the injuries don't hit.
Yes. His first running mate, by the way, number one overall pick,
Fisherman,
forgot to shoot.
He's fishing.
And then you get James Harden as pivot two, who's like, yeah, let me choke my way out of the playoffs every year. Like, he gets Paul George. Paul George tests positive for steroids. Like, everything the guy's been, when we're like, Embiid's never been to a conference finals. Like, it's his fault.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have an MVP.
Maxie's fun.
Maxie's awesome, dude. I think they can win that series for sure.
I do, too.
Philly's playing really good ball right now.
I think the Knicks are probably going to do it, but I think it could be a fun 5-6 game series. I don't know if I see it going 7. The Embiid injury stuff, it's just, like, 4 different times, and I know Jaylen Brown alluded to him flopping, like, 4 different times in that game, the way he lands and looks.
He's almost causing himself
to get
hurt.
I'm just like, Maxi runs into his knee, and that wasn't his fault, but, like, things like that happen to him every game. And so the minute that actually happens and takes him out,
it's a ticking time bomb.
It's hard not to say the Knicks ultimately are going to do it.
Yeah.
The Knicks have all the pressure of all the 4 teams. They have to be in the finals this year.
No doubt. When you look especially at the East landscape, you gotta come out of the East.
You have to capitalize, man.
Philly,
there's no doubt about it.
Is banged up, and they got Embiid, who we don't know what percentage he's at. Like, you have to win that series, and then nobody's going to believe in the other team that wins, Cleveland versus Detroit.
I'll be happy for my homie Ray. I will not be happy for my homie Marv, but I'll be very happy if you also cash your ticket with the 76ers winning the East. But that's the playoff matchups. Cleveland and Detroit in the second round, 76ers and Knicks. We'll get to the West at some point as well.
It was great to see Boston blow that series, by the way.
We have a loaded second hour to get to. We had a lot of rumors here in Portland with the Trailblazers, Giannis, Anthony Davis, you name it, it was thrown out there. Hour 2, let's dive in. 105.1, The Fan.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.